good morning from the big British castle. Welcome, listeners, to the Glastonbury festive hill. Adam and Joe have been transported there at vast expense. Their private jet has landed on Beyonce's tent, and now it's bent.
That's Gorillaz with Steelo. Hey, how you doing, listeners? Adam Buxton here.
Hey, listeners, it's Joe Cornish here. We're coming to you live from the Glastonbury Festival.
Yeah, it's like how would you describe it?
Well, it's a big gathering of people.
It's like a big friendly disaster area.
Yeah.
And it's just started. I mean, you can maybe hear out there that they are testing the sound system on the main stage, the pyramid stage, right next to where we, the BBC, are located in our vans.
It just stopped. We had an exciting moment there about 10 minutes ago when they started playing music for the first time on the pyramid stage. Yeah. And we were a bit alarmed because we're in quite a feeble porter cabin here, just behind the pyramid stage. And the booming system was booming very loud.
Yeah,
the entire porter cabin started vibrating. James, our producer, looked worried. Lucy was shaken off her chair. She fell on the floor.
We were excited because it was like we were war reporters in a dangerous place, in a dangerous war zone.
Dangerous levels of subsonic bass.
You know, because later on that stage, first of all, Metronomy are going to be stepping out there during our show, in fact, at 12 o'clock. We got the Wu-Tang Clan on the main stage there. Later on, B.B. King, Biffy Clyro, Morrissey.
You're getting very excited.
You
just by
too?
Reading. I've never seen Adam like this.
Have you ever seen you two? I mean, I don't really care about you two, but I'm quite excited. I'm quite excited to see them because, you know.
Well, it's very different seeing bands here at Glastonbury, isn't it? It can make you excited about bands that you don't really care about.
Exactly.
But we care about everything. We care about every band. We're very excited to be here. We hope you are excited to be joining us for the next 3 days. We'll be here from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. today and tomorrow and Sunday. Live, so please stay tuned. In fact, Six Music is providing fantastic round-the-clock coverage of Glastonbury all weekend.
If you would like to get in touch with our show, the text number is 64046. As usual, texts will be charged at your standard message rate. And we encourage you to text or tweet us rather than email, perhaps, because it might be easier for us to process those messages than it would be normally with the emails. So you can Twitter us. It's at BBC Adam and Joe is our Twitter hashtag.
Is that what it's called?
I don't know what's going on in the modern world. And you can always email as well, but we might be slower on the uptake. It's adamandjoe.sixmusic@bbc.co.uk.
I'm worried.
Why are you worried?
Well, I'm worried about the sound levels from the pyramid
stage.
Don't worry,
Grandpa.
He just said 1-2 and you could hear it clear as day.
Yeah, I know. When it gets really loud, we'll open the door.
What happens when an actual band starts?
We'll be in trouble. We can go and ask Metronomy to turn it down.
You know what we should do is we should go and gather toilet rolls and egg boxes
and lob them
and just staple them all over the inside of the porter cabin for soundproofing, or get mud. We could get loads of mud and cake it around the porter cabin.
We should talk about the mud later on because it's going to be quite a big factor for the Glastonbury weekend.
There's a lot of mud available.
Yeah, there's got to be things we can do with it. But listen, let's have some music right now to ease us in a little bit right now. And James, are we going for my track here right now? This is the first of my free plays. And I thought I'd play a little bit of Cliff Richard for you, listeners. And this is Out in the Country. Enjoy! So, Cliff, from 1966, I think that one was. That's in the country, just to get us in the country mood there.
I didn't know you were into Sir Cliff.
Love a bit of Sir Cliff. I went on a Cliff bender the other day. Suddenly, Cliff popped in my mind. And I just went Cliff crazy.
Did you?
And I started listening to Wired for Sound. Do you remember that
one? That one I like.
That's the one that got me into Cliff.
Yeah.
And you know how sometimes you have fond memories of things that you grew up with and that you listened to as a child, and you go back to them and you think, ooh, that doesn't sound good at all. But Wired for Sound sounded decent.
Yes.
Sounded very decent.
I bet it did.
And, you know, that is an absolute peach, isn't it, in the country there?
Yeah, he's a good singer. He's a very sexy man.
He's good at tennis.
Very good at tennis. Very lovely thighs.
He's got beautiful brown legs, doesn't he?
He's very tanned, and they're dusted with a light dusting of hair.
Hair! Beautiful blonde hair. That's true, isn't it?
He's very young looking.
How
does he stay so young?
Cliff's legs.
Yeah. Would you?
Yeah. He likes that done.
He likes a small, hairy man to stand at the side of the court.
Sure he does. He's got loads.
And when the ball boys run in and pick up the balls,
yeah.
he likes the hairy men to come in and just lick his
legs. They don't go crazy. They don't want to wear the legs down.
Of course not.
Otherwise, he'd just be stumbling about on pins.
Yeah.
No one wants that.
He's the sexiest, oldest man in the world.
It's true, isn't it?
He's the sexiest, oldest man.
And you know how some people's skin gets very leathery when they get old. It's like chamois leather.
Chris Richard.
he's got chamois leather legs.
He does. When he waxes his MG, he just does it nude. And he just rides all over it, all over the bonnet.
That's true.
I love Chris Richards.
Chris Richards. So Chris is the absolute best with his chamois legs. So listen, man, how was your Glastonbury trip? Did you get here okay?
Got here okay. We were here yesterday, listeners. Adam and me arrived at about lunchtime yesterday.
Yeah.
And we usually get here on the first day. I've never been here on the day before.
Mm-hmm.
There was a nice atmosphere. It was very sunny. Everyone was kind of mildly tooty.
Lovely.
And just strolling around, getting a sense of the place.
It was a beautiful day yesterday.
It was a beautiful day. There was a little bit of sloppy, muddy bits around the place.
Well, it took about 45 minutes for me to walk just from the Yellow Gate to the BBC compound. That's only half the distance of the actual site, and it took a long time.
There are some very excited security people who are taking great pleasure in doing their jobs.
Checking all the tags. It's not in any way like it was in 19... When was the first year of the festival? 70, was it? 71, when it started, it was just Michael Eavis standing there, sort of going, "Hey, welcome," and that was about it for security.
He's still doing that. He just can't be heard because he's surrounded by so many people.
That's true. We both came on the train.
Yep.
Did you have any travelling tales from the train?
I didn't. I had a little sleep.
Yeah, nice little journey.
A little kippage.
Very civilised. Before we got on the train, I was in Paddington, and I was checking out all... It's very easy to tell who's going to the festival when you're there at the station.
Yeah, you get corralled into a separate sort of thing.
That's if you're going to Castle Carey.
Right.
We went to Bath Spa to avoid the madness.
Yeah.
But even on the Bath Spa train, it was very, very busy. Lots of people going on there. Lots of anxious-looking mothers with their teenage daughters.
Do you do that... When I was a kid and I was on a long train journey, one of the treats would be to walk the entire length of the train.
Sure.
You'd get up, you'd go all the way to the end, all the way to the other end, and then back to your seat. Do you still do that?
I was forced to do that because I had to put my bike in the end carriage and then walk the other way down.
You're lucky.
It's not really a treat, though. Not when it's rammed.
No.
It takes ages.
Squeezing past everybody.
Squeezing. And there was a guy before we got on the train that I saw. He was one of the Hardy Boys, you know? There's a lot of girls wandering around with their wellies and their nice little neatly packed knapsacks. There's a few guys that look like Nick Grimshaw, who've got, you know, shades and cool hair and maybe a jaunty hat.
So you mean he's Hardy, he's rough and tough, rather than Nancy Drew and the Hardy Boys.
Exactly, yeah. And then there's the Hardy type boy. He's got a giant backpack. It looks as if he's just about to ship out to war. And the guy that I saw also had a new-looking wheelbarrow.
Nice.
And in the wheelbarrow was around, I would say, 70 cans of lager.
Mm-hmm. Perfect.
As well as a whole load of new camping equipment. And he was just standing there, you know, grimacing under the weight
of his... How had he got the wheelbarrow on the train?
That's what... He hadn't got on the train at that point.
Oh, I see.
So I was thinking, like, what the heck is he thinking?
I think what he does is he sits in it on the beer and he loops a rope around the back of the train... and he just gets tugged along. It's a bit bouncy, but he's very hardy, that Hardy boy.
Sure he is. And then when he gets off the train at Castle Carey, what, does he just wheel it all the way to the site?
Nah, he's drunk by then. He drinks the 70 cans for the journey. He'll get more when he gets here.
He just rolls down the valley and lands in the mud.
Hey, we should say something as well. If there's a weird acoustic, listeners, if everything sounds a bit different, it is because we're in this porter cabin. And Six Music have managed to sort of deck out half of it in sort of soundproofy greengrocer's grass to kind of baffle the sound. But the Six Music budget has only stretched to 4 bits. So there is a kind of weird sort of porter cabin acoustic in here.
That's
but
nice.
Bear with it, we'll get used to it.
Yeah, it's absolutely
it's
cool.
All right.
Hey, let's play some music by one of the headliners from this weekend. They will be headlining the Pyramid stage tomorrow night. That's Saturday, of course. And here is a track that is out on physical release on Monday. It's by the mighty Coldplay. Of course, this is Every Teardrop is a Waterfall. Well done. That was Stephen Wonder.
That was last year here at Glastonbury Live. I remember that.
Of course, it was Michael Eavis' birthday. Was it the birthday of Eavis or the birthday of the festival?
Yeah. Stevie Wonder. He joined... Michael Eavis joined Stevie Wonder on stage to sing that song. Was he singing in that version we heard? No.
No, that was... that was Superstition, that song.
Oh, thanks, mate.
They did Happy Birthday.
Thanks a lot. Birthday. Thanks a lot. Thanks. Thanks. Yeah, I'm just going to take a little break.
Happy birthday to you. That's my impression of Evis with Stevis.
It's good. It's good.
It was excellent. So, Joe, do you feel as if you have packed everything you need for your festival experience? Have you left anything behind?
Yeah, I've left a pair of jeans behind, I realised this morning.
Mate.
I have. I've only bought one pair of jeans.
You got the one pair of jeans?
Yeah. And listeners might like to know that a small hole has opened up beside the fly in the crotch of my jeans.
It's the most exciting place for a hole.
I've had them for about a year. Modern clothes, they're not made like they used to be.
No.
They're temporary, they're ephemeral, modern clothes, designed for three or four wears. These jeans have started to split. I've got no other jeans. So it's going to give a sort of excitement and tension to the next 3 days.
So the bets are, when is it going to start raining today? It's going to do that any second.
Mm.
When is Joe's crotch hole going to suddenly expand?
Yeah.
And maybe we could harness the power of the squadron. Black Squadron surely must be on site.
Do you think someone's got a sewing kit?
You would think.
Do you think one of them might be able to stitch up my little...
Crotch split.
Crotch split.
Surely. That's within the power of the squadron.
I was having to construct that sentence very carefully.
Yeah, maybe I didn't do a good job, I don't know. But that's got to be doable. If you're on site and you can hear us somehow...
They have to sew it up while the jeans are on.
All
so
right.
It has to be a very good... It has to be
a
surgeon, really.
That?
Yeah, it has to be a surgeon.
Someone like one of the Black Squadron poking needles in your...
Yeah, I'm very happy about that. They have to, but they have to be able to get the needle penetration shallow. You know, if they go too deep, then...
Obviously, then yeah. It's curtains for
it's
cornballs.
Curtains for Dr. Sexy's cornballs.
He's going to close his practice.
That could be edgy stuff. It's like Mission Impossible 5.
Mission Impossibles. Well, I think I packed pretty much everything, although last night I came onto the site with my wash bag and I left it in the compound.
Just before we change the subject.
Yeah.
No, I'll change the subject back. I've thought better of saying what I was going to say. Keep talking. Sorry. I had second thoughts.
Save it for later.
The compliance part of my brain kicked in.
Oh, well done.
Thanks.
Hey, you know, it's right at the end of our run. But I'm glad that it finally started working.
Yeah.
I left my wash bag, mate. So I couldn't do my correct ablution routine this morning and last night.
That's terrible.
Because we're staying off-site. And it was very upsetting.
The whole wash bag?
The whole wash bag.
Soap?
Soap, yeah. I mean, there's soap
moisturizer,
in the place where we're
toothpaste,
staying.
Toothbrush?
No toothpaste.
Deodorant?
Toothbrush. No deodorant.
You haven't got... You're going to stink.
Well,
like
I've done it now because I just ran into the lavvy just before we came on air
right.
And sorted it all out. But last night, I had to go to bed without brushing my teeth,
That's
mate.
Not nice.
That's grotesque.
Furry teeth, furry gums.
You know? And also, I had some onions with my delicious BBC supper last night.
Very bad for your
raw
teeth.
Raw onions. Oh, I'm going to have raw onions. Look at the raw onions. I'm having them. And then... I had onion breath and went to sleep with the onion breath. It was horrible. Have you got any good techniques for brushing your teeth when you don't have your toothpaste and brush there?
Yeah, you just use a wet finger.
Wet finger. That does nothing, though. All that does is compact all the goop.
No, that's how cavemen did it. You know,
is it?
Yeah.
Cavemen, I thought they scraped them with twigs or a lizard or something.
Twigs are good as well, but you have to have a particular type of twig.
Yeah, but if there's no twigs available, what do you do if you're just in a hotel room? Sometimes what I do is, you know, they can be quite starchy, the towels, so they're a bit rough. So I use a rough towel.
You use a rough towel?
Yeah, I towel down the teeth.
Well done. That's a good technique.
It's not really. I mean, it doesn't work. But it makes you feel as if you're doing something. You feel as if you have to do something, however pointless it is, just to get some action on the
towel
teeth.
Towel down the teeth.
Towel down the teeth. Be interested to hear if anyone's got any other suggestions.
Don't forget the text number here in the BBC Six Music Porter Cabinet, Glastonbury, is 64046. And also, you can Twitter at BBC Adam and Joe.
In fact, we request that you do so. We're checking them all here on the bits of technology, some of which are working. You know,
I've got a sexy tablet computer.
Yeah. So
one of these Contempo tablets.
Joe's checking your messages there. The offensive ones get filtered out at an early stage, so don't even try
it. Ones.
So don't even try it! This is Adam and Joe here on BBC Six Music. It's 10:30 and time for the news. Good stuff. That's De La Soul, the sound of the Daisy Age there, Joe.
What does it all mean?
And that was called Three is the Magic Number.
Well done.
I remembered it with my mind rather than looking at a piece of paper.
Good work.
My mind still works. Hooray! This is Adam and Joe here on BBC Six Music, and of course we are opening up the coverage for Six Music of the Glastonbury Festival 2011. Three full days of non-stop music, mayhem, madness, and I was trying to think of something else that began with M.
Marmite
and mud. Steve Lamacq, of course, is here next.
He was wearing a filthy coat, so I've christened him Steve Le Dirty Mac.
Nice.
He was walking through the mud. He got very splattered. And yeah, that's my
he's got
joke.
He's got a gunslinger swagger. Yesterday he was approaching us in the BBC compound, flanked by BBC execs.
Well, do you know what that is before you start getting flippant about it?
Well, not being flippant.
He's DJed for a long time. Hmm. The bass rumbles have damaged some of the ligaments in his legs.
Right.
Just through the sheer vibrations he's had to endure.
So he can't actually straighten his legs anymore.
Yeah.
So he's got that permanently bow-legged stance. He's ready, though, to have a gunfight with Bobby Gillespie at any point.
Absolutely.
Or any of the other big rock gunslingers.
With sonic pistols.
Lauren Laverne is here on Six Music from 2 o'clock. Stuart McConey is here from 5. Keris Matthews and Sean Keaveney here at 9. With B.B. King actually on the show. Flipping heck, Tucker. And Steve Lamacq is back at 10, going live around the stages. Flying from stage to stage. From U2 to Primal Scream, he's going to be checking out all the live music tonight. And we were speaking to Sean Keaveney yesterday, having a nice drinky, and he was saying that what's his plan? He's going to stay up all night and see the sunrise tomorrow night. That sounds...
And then broadcast?
Insane. I think he's going to finish broadcasting, then stay up, and then... Maybe it'll be part of Lauren's show, I think, his reports from staying up all night and watching the sunrise with the lunatics. I mean, that sounds ill-advised.
You would have thought he'd be tired of seeing the sunrise.
You know, exactly.
With the hours he works.
Once you get to 35, who needs to see another sunrise?
I know.
It's totally tedious.
Rubbish.
Later in the show, we're going to have some of our regular features popping up. Might be time for a bit of pop-appropriation or some eggcorns soon. But right now, here's some more music for you listeners. And we have got a nice bit of Fleet Foxes coming your way now. We are hoping that we're going to speak to Robin Pecknold, lead singer of the Fleet Foxes, later on today.
Yeah, so if you've got any questions to put to Mr. Pecknold, as I like to respectfully call him, do send them in, 64046, and we will pick out the best ones and say them to him.
Now, they're shy, bearded mountain men who have very seldom been out in actual civilization.
Well, this is the only kind of place they come to, because this is a similar lifestyle to their day-to-day existence.
That's right.
They feel very comfortable here.
Foraging for grubs in the mud.
Exactly.
That kind of thing. So they feel comfortable. But what are they going to make of us? Because we're idiots. And we're not really properly equipped to interview...
Well, he'll probably treat us like some sort of confused, panicked, trapped animal.
Yeah.
They're very used to dealing with scared animals. Mm-hmm. You know, suckling pigs that are panicking.
Yes.
Stuff like that. A rabbit that's being chased, about to be killed.
A chased rabbit.
They're very soulful. You know, they understand stupidity.
Good.
Simplicity.
Uh-huh.
They like a simpleton. There's a couple of old guys that live down the road from them in a shack who are very similar to us. They're just like very old. They've had too much gumbo. Their brains are addled by homebrewed gumbo. And that's how he will relate to us.
Yeah. Well, that's what... I mean, it'll be a relief for him in a way, because most people, when they interview the Fleet Foxes, just talk about music. Boring. So what we're going to do is talk absolute rubbish to the man and see how he deals with that. So tune in tomorrow to find out how that goes down. But this is Fleet Foxes right now with Helplessness Blues. What is he going on about there? And that's our lady walking by! Look at the top of this he's got there!
Pandemonium.
Overexcited. MGMT with Flash Delirium. That was from their album last year. Congratulations. And of course, MGMT were one of the bands that did a terrific set here last year. And they're not here this year, though. So it's a shame, isn't it?
That's a shame, isn't it?
It's an absolute shame. But their live music is starting in about 10 minutes.
Yes, and you might remember, listeners, we were telling you that we're in quite a flimsy porter cabin directly behind the pyramid stage. So there is an atmosphere of expectation, tension and trepidation as to whether when the live music starts on the pyramid stage, it will disintegrate our porter cabin like something out of a Roland Emmerich film.
I'll be absolutely furious if that happens. It'll be like a Jimmy Porter cabin. It's an angry young man.
Nice, like it.
Thank you.
Also, Adam was asking you to suggest ways to clean your teeth if you've forgotten your tooth brushing kit.
Yeah, top tips. I've never been able, you know, I'm nearly 70 years old and I've never sussed out thus far in my life the best way to deal with the situation.
And I'm sure this is a situation that's happening to lots of people here at Glastonbury. They've forgotten to bring some sort of essential, and the toothbrush is the most essential of all essentials.
It really is. No one
now you can to. You can buy them, but nobody buys anything at Glastonbury.
No.
No one goes shopping at Glastonbury.
Well, we bought some wellies yesterday.
We did, that's true.
That was amazing.
But here are some suggestions that have come in from listeners. Gareth in Corby says, hello, Adam and Joe. On the theme of teeth in India, they use neem sticks.
Neem sticks?
You chew the end. This is good. You chew the end, then you use the chewed end for brushing. He says, neem is medicinal, spelt M-E-D-I-S-N-O-A-L. And leaves, spelt L-E-A-V-S-E, are used in curry as flavour, plus neem oil put on hair kills lice. Gareth in Corby.
That's my kind of doctor.
Here's one from an anonymous person. He says, good morning, Buckcorn. A coconut husk works very well as an emergency toothbrush. A coconut.
Oh, that's a great suggestion. Where am I going to get a coconut?
These are all tropical solutions. We need some local solutions. Mm. Here is another one. Carpet, curtains, menus, and depending on its strength, hotel Wi-Fi can be used to clean teeth. It's true, isn't it? They advertise those sonic toothbrushes.
Right.
So maybe if you just tuned a radio into a very high frequency and pressed it to the teeth, it would kind of vibrate the dirt off.
I think Florence and the Machine have the same sort of effect. If you direct their music directly into your mouth, it'll strip. The only problem is you have to keep the volume down, otherwise it strips the enamel right off.
Here's a good one. John and Michelle say, hello, Adam and Joe. Regarding teeth, we've always used Sambuca to clean, both nice. Morning, noon and night, whilst at a festival.
With a nice,
just like mouthwash.
A nice gargle.
Yeah, there
we go.
You
could also use, what's the stuff they used to, like the artists used to use that was banned for a long time, that sent people insane? You know what I'm talking about, listeners. Absinthe.
Absinthe.
Absinthe. Nice little yes. Absinthe gargle. And last thing at night, give you nice funny dreams.
Somebody says, apparently, if you rub half a strawberry on your teeth, that works too. Is that true? That can't be true. They're a sugary treat. Surely that just works to eliminate the teeth
that
from the equation.
A little bit like nonsense, nonsense, nonsense. Let's have some more music right now. And after this, I think we should have some Glastonbury band facts.
Oh, because, I was excited.
You know, this is the number one fact station. People listen to our show to get hard news, political opinion and hard factual stuff. So that's coming up after this. We have got for you, listeners, some classic XTC. And are you going to fire this off right from the beginning? Because it's very quiet. Let's fire it off, James. Ding, 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 ding. Ah, oh, love this. From 1982, Senses Working Overtime. Oh, wouldn't it be great if XTC were ever tempted out onto the stage again here at Glastonbury? And I would jump up and down to that one if they played it. And all the other ones that they would play. But it's just a pipe dream. This is Adam and Joe here on BBC Six Music live at the Glastonbury Festival.
Now, if you go to bbc.co.uk/Glastonbury, you will see sort of live webcam coverage of the site. And if you were watching that during the last record and you saw the webcam going a bit crazy, zooming in a chaotic manner, then that was because that was me, because they foolishly put the controls to it in our porter cabin. And I went over there and started messing around with the joystick. And it's fun. You have to be careful what you point it at.
You're not allowed to
respect people's privacy.
Sure.
Make sure you do general views as a rule. But it's nice to have control of a BBC camera. You know, a lot of people get very angry about the way that concerts are covered on television.
Right.
Don't they? They think they don't like it when the editing gets crazy, when people cover stuff in close-ups. A lot of people like to see just a wide of the performance. Do you ever feel like that when you watch a concert on telly? That you see a lot of letters of complaints on points of view and stuff that vision mixers are trying to get too fancy pants. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You don't look as if you've got anything to say about
this. Well, that's just pointless quibbling, though, isn't it? You want it to be covered as well. You want it to sound good.
Well, I think
good.
Their argument is that a stage show is designed to be seen as like a wide shot by the audience.
Yeah, but that's if you're there live. If you're watching it on telly, you want it to be exactly like a telly program with all close-ups and you want it to be 3D.
Yeah. I know what you mean. I think some listeners will understand what I'm getting on about.
No, I don't think they will. Don't you?
No, I don't think anyone will.
I'm wasting my time.
Totally wasting your time.
Anyway, it was fun to have control of a camera, and I've put it in a very nice wide shot there of the pyramid stage. So if you get annoyed at the style of coverage on the BBC's television coverage, it's not Cornwall sport. You can tune into Corncam, which just has a very boring wide shot of proceedings that stays there the whole time. And that's not true, because I won't be controlling that camera.
Set the controls for the heart of the corns. Let's have some band facts, why not?
Band facts.
It's kind of a jingle.
Was that it? Didn't we have a different jingle last year?
We got a few.
Wasn't there a better one last year?
Well, it's not like a proper jingle. It's just sort of stabs, we call them.
That was good.
Do you have another stab?
Glastonbury band facts. Facts.
That's better.
It's more serious sound.
That is more serious.
Because what you're just about to hear now is some important facts about one of the headline acts from the festival this year. Tonight, U2 will be stepping onto the stage. After Morrissey has left, the crowd will be whipped up into a state of feverish excitement as Bonio and the rest of the boys step on. Here are some facts about what I think we can still call at least one of the biggest bands in the world,
Chumbawamba
/ universe. I think they're bigger than Chumbawamba.
What?
U2. I think they are bigger than Chumbawamba.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay.
Did you know Bono, or to give him his full long name, Paul Bonus, has pretended to be Irish for most of his life? He actually grew up in Queensland, Australia, where all the Queens come from, and he worked there as a drag queen until he could afford to buy a top-of-the-line utility vehicle in which he would drive around singing ABBA songs. And people would often see Bonus driving around and shout, "Look at that ute! Ooh!"
I did know that, yeah.
Yeah, so when it came time to form a band, he decided to call it Beautiful Ute. And then Musical Ute, and then finally just changed it to Ute. Ooh!
I did know that. Everybody knows that.
Obviously. I'm starting with the stuff that everyone knows.
Tell us something we don't know.
All right. The edge has a ledge on which it grows veg. Did you know that?
I don't know. I question the veracity of that. I mean, it rhymes. Most things that rhyme are true.
Listen.
I'll give you that.
I included it here because it's surprising that not only does it rhyme, it's also true.
Say it again.
The edge has a ledge on which he grows veg.
Like a window ledge.
Exactly.
He grows veg on his window ledge.
Yeah, he's got a box there. It used to be him and David Gedge from The Wedding Present used to grow veg on the ledge. But then David Gedge went off and he got an allotment. Drummer Larry Mullen from the band U2 is the youngest member of the group by quite some way. He's 12. And Larry is paid in DS games and Sherbet flying saucers.
Mm-hmm.
And Nerf guns.
Really?
Other foamy guns are available. But his prize possession in the Nerf armory of Larry Mullen is the Ultimatron Dominator Max. It requires 5 men to assemble and carry it. Currently, that job is done by Westlife.
Mm-hmm. Will that be part of the show tonight?
That was a very patrician.
Mm-hmm. Well, again, you know, these are just... You've just Wikipedia'd these facts, and it shows a lack of effort.
You knew that one, did you?
I mean, you're just going to read stuff off Wikipedia.
Oh, I bet you didn't know this. Well, actually, people do know this. Bono and his wife, Colleen Nolan, have 27 children who all have special powers. They live in an academy in Brighton where they're taught how to use those powers by Patrick Stewart.
Mm. I think it's Tim Allen runs that school.
Is it?
Yeah.
You're
Stewart
right.
Retired.
He did retire.
He did.
You're absolutely
so,
right.
So get it. If you're going to tell us stuff we already know, get it right.
Sometimes these
Why
facts
don't
go
you?
Wrong. Did you know that extra security has been laid on tonight here at Glastonbury because of all the famous and controversial people who have turned up to see the band perform, including the Pope, Salman Rushdie, Tony Blair, George Bush, George Galloway, Andy Crane, Davina McCall, Bass Hunter and Prestong from the Ordinary Boys.
Prestong. The biggest name of all.
Yeah. I mean, Prestong is... he needs the most amount of security.
Well, he's actually
because of the way he treated Chantel.
Yeah. He has to be shot here in an underground tube.
Does he?
At high speed. Because it's just too dangerous for him to come any other way. You know, a star like Beyonce can come in a chopper.
Sure.
Which is, of course, vulnerable to missile attack.
Yeah.
Preston can't be exposed to that kind of danger, so he has to be shot.
Shot down a reinforced
down one of the post office's underground tubes. As we know, the post office has a network of underground tubes under the country, down which they fire post.
It's the same tube that they used to fire Winston Churchill to all the festivals in.
Yeah.
And now it's being used by Preston. Final fact, you two... And this is very topical. They own Greece. I don't know if you knew that.
Mm-hmm.
And they are responsible for running it into the ground at the moment in order that they can use it as a private holiday village at weekends.
That one I didn't know.
When I found that, I was pretty shocked.
That's disgusting. We should mount some sort of a protest.
Well, maybe I'll be out there protesting tonight. I don't know. Let's have some more music right now. It's time for the caveman. Here's Nick Cave. Bong. That's Sleigh Bells with Rill Rill. That's out on Monday, the 27th of June, from their debut album, Treats, out now. Adam and Joe here live at Glastonbury Festival.
Yeah, and don't forget, you can text us 64046, or the Twitter is at BBC Adam and Joe. Hello to Twit Squadron, who are Twittering. I see that Wickwox is doing some Twittering there.
Hey!
I feel particular affection towards Wickwox and Wickwox is a lady, isn't it? Yeah. And her dad,
possibly,
who sent us in that amazing jingle the other week. Do you remember?
Oh, is that Wickwox?
Yeah.
Also known as Roo.
There you go.
Cyber Ruby.
Hello, you guys. Thanks for joining in. It's exciting to be doing this on a Friday, don't you think?
So are they actually at the festival then?
I don't think so. They're at home.
Okay.
They are at home. And here's an email from someone else who is at home. He's called Luke. He's from Burton-on-Trent. Whilst I'm sure you're having a splendid and tremendous time at Glastonbury this year, I think you should spare a thought for those who didn't manage to get tickets. I fall into this category, and in my fit of despair, decided that I'd organise a miniature festival in my back garden for around 15 of my closest pals. Rather than the pyramid stage, we have a moderately sized gazebo. Instead of having live bands, we're going to watch BBC highlights, and in place of the excellent variety of attractions, we're going to draw pictures and make friendship bands. We've called it Grastonbury because it takes place on grass rather than mud.
Yeah.
So that's exciting, isn't it? That's a good idea.
That's a very good idea. Who have they got for security, though?
Probably Mum.
Mum. She's going to come round. She's going to be incredibly officious. If anyone wants to go to the lab, she's not going to let them in unless they've got the right wristband.
There's nothing more fearsome than an angry mum.
How tight is your wristband? Because, you know, when you come in, what you have to do is you exchange your ticket.
How tight is your wristband?
For a wristband.
Yeah.
And the officials put the wristband on you, and they make it really, really tight so that it can't come off and that you can't take it off yourself and transfer it to someone else.
Mm.
And they clamp it with a special kind of plastic clamp thing.
I notice yours are quite loose.
I managed to circumvent my clamp.
How did you do it?
Well,
did you do it Houdini style? One of Houdini's techniques, when he put a straitjacket on, he would expand his chest and breathe out. So however tight the audience person strapped it on, he could then just breathe out and he'd have a bit of wriggle room.
No, I let them put it on fine because they know all those tricks.
I mean, you can't do that with your wrist. Certainly, no. If my wrist's like a little twig, there's no muscle there, nothing to expand.
You can't expand your wrist. It's the only part of your body that it's impossible to expand.
Oh, no, there's an...
Except for your mind. What I did is I just bit into it. I just bit into the plastic twizzle that is attaching it last night because I don't like to go to sleep.
So you undid it and did it up again?
Yes. I don't like to go to sleep with anything on my wrists, you know? I like to be absolutely nude the way I entered the world when I go to sleep at night, you know?
Fluffy cuffs?
No fluffy cuffs. I take those off and...
Studded... What do you do with your studded bracelets?
I hang up all my studded bracelets.
What about your dog collar?
My nipple clamps. I put them on the bedside table. The dog collar I take off. I take my leather chaps off.
You'll never get those tats off, though. Those dolphin tats.
Oh, the dolphin tats. I scrape them off.
Do you?
Yeah, and I apply them fresh every morning. That's why I look so raw and red sometimes in the mornings.
Mm.
It's a nice image, isn't it? But I don't like to have anything at all on me, so I removed it. I bit the plastic thing back on.
You didn't.
And if they're listening now, they're going to probably gang up on me and
beat me
to a pulp, because you're really not allowed to do that. It invalidates the actual pass. It's a very risky business that I'm involved in. But I'm sort of hoping that because I'm doing a show for the BBC here, I might be able to get around it somehow. But I'm wishing that I never even started speaking about it, because I'm going to be beaten up now by the
thrown off the site.
Security guys, yeah. It was stupid. I'm quite a stupid guy in a way, aren't I?
You shouldn't be broadcasting
here.
No,
I'm totally irresponsible.
What would Taffin have to say about that?
Well, exactly. We should have some kind of Taffin flash mob with Black Squadron at some point, don't you think?
Possibly. We should. The word flash mob...
You don't like the word flash mob?
It creeps me out.
What other word can we use for flash mob? Instant party.
Yeah. Instant party.
Yeah. Let's have a Taffin instant party. If you're listening right now, come on, let's put them in the mood with a little bit of Bronholm.
Then maybe you shouldn't be living here!
And you know, we got some Hindi Bronholm as well that was sent in by someone. Should we play that later, James?
Let's play that later. We'll tease that. We could have some music.
Yeah, let's have some music right now. And who have we got coming up? Oh, yeah, this is my free choice, yeah. A bit of David Bowie. I mean, he was one of the first people to play at the Glastonbury Festival when he was just an unknown hippie man, yeah.
Is that true? What year was that then?
Oh, I don't know. Early, I mean, 71, 72.
We should find out about that.
And he was invited back, of course. The next time he played at Glastonbury after that was 2000. That was the first year that we came to Glastonbury to cover it for BBC Three, BBC Choice, as it was then, on the telly.
Well,
when we
he
were
didn't
allowed
come and see us.
On the telly, no.
He didn't threatened come and see us. But he didn't.
But for that gig, Bowie grew his hair. I heard this on a program on Six Music all about Glastonbury, and it would be lovely to think that it was actually true. But Bowie apparently for that gig in 2000 grew his hair to the length that it would have been when he first played at Glastonbury. And then he also had a reproduction made of the costume that he wore, the big lady dress thing that
yes.
he wore. So he stepped out onto the stage looking more or less exactly as he would have done a few hundred years beforehand, except obviously a little bit more craggly, but still beautiful. And here is one of my favourite Bowie songs. Must have been inspired by Glastonbury to some degree. Memory of a Free Festival. And this is one of the versions you can get on one of the reissues of the album Space Oddity. And it's got the best hippie festival lyrics ever. There's one bit in there, one passage. And I always imagine David as a youngster going home to his mum after the festival, and she says, "How was the festival, darling?" "Yes, it was great, mum. We scanned the skies with rainbow eyes and saw machines of every shape and size. We talked with tall Venusians passing through, and Peter tried to climb aboard, but the captain shook his head, and away they soared, climbing through the ivory vibrant clouds. And someone passed some bliss amongst the crowd, and we walked back to the road, unchained." That's nice, darling. So here you go. Here's the real thing. This is David Bowie with Memory of a Free Festival. Yes.
That's fantastic.
David Bowie there with Memory of a Free Festival.
Yeah, so there's a guy here who wants to capture just one drop of all the ecstasy that swept the afternoon, then paint that love upon a white balloon, which he wants to fly from the tops of all the tops that man has pushed beyond his brain. No, sorry, mate, you can't do that. You can have a balloon, but you can't paint it with any kind of ecstasy whatsoever, and I'm afraid you don't have the right wristband to get to the tops of all the tops that man has pushed beyond his brain. So I'm afraid you'll just have to go back to the mud field there and sit in the mud for a while.
This is Adam and Joe, broadcasting live from the Glastonbury Music Festival. Hello, listeners. Don't forget, you can get all your Glastonbury needs fulfilled without even coming to the festival by staying tuned to Six Music. Steve Lamack is on after us. He'll have Jeremy Hardy and Billy Bragg. Laverne is after that. McConey, Matthews and Keaveney. Then Lamack is back. What an incredible lineup.
Lauren is going to be talking to Mumford & Sons, or at least two of Mumford & Sons, and they are going to be playing, of course, tonight on the other stage. The other stage is sort of the cool stage
right.
at the festival, I think. The pyramid stage is where all the heavy hitters can be found, but headlining the other stage tonight are Primal Scream, Mumford & Sons before them. Fleet Foxes are on there tonight. You've got the Wombats and the Vaccines before that, Bright Eyes. It's all happening. Chipmunk. He's just come on stage, I think, over on the other stage.
Chippy, little Chippy.
Halfway through his set. We spoke to Emmy the Great yesterday, or at least Emma Lee Moss from Emmy the Great, and we're going to play you that interview a little bit later on.
One thing we should say is we'll have a lot of live music from the festival tomorrow and Sunday. At the moment, though, obviously the thing's only just gearing up,
yeah.
But this is definitely the place to come to hear the sets as they happen.
But right now, before the news, let's have some Orange Juice R. This is a track that we both feel very fond of, isn't it, Joe?
Yeah, what one is it?
I Can't Help Myself, from 1982, from their album Rip It Up. This is Orange Juice. Sound of the Summer. That's a fantastic new band. They're called Orange Juice. That's called I Can't Help Myself. Well, that's not a good voice at all.
It's a weird,
I was experimenting.
That's the voice of a 70s DJ who is now in prison.
Yeah, dirty Philpott.
He moved to Prague. and then things went downhill.
Sorry, I can't help myself.
I can't tell you what he did.
I can't help myself either.
Cannot tell you what that DJ did.
Sound is filthy Philpot here. With you right the way through the afternoon. Oh, what a beautiful morning.
It's disgusting. And it is still a beautiful morning, only just here at Glastonbury, but the clouds are gathering and the forecast...
It's fine.
It's, I mean, just the idea that there's heavy rain forecast later today is bumming me out.
It's like a giant cloud fruit machine.
Yeah.
You know, every 5 or 10 minutes, God pulls the handle.
Yes.
All the fruity signs roll round. Stormy cloud, blue sky.
You never know.
Light cloud. And at the moment, it's a mixture of everything. Nobody knows what's going to happen. But that adds to the thrills.
Yeah, I suppose so. But there's going to be a lot of mud here, I tell you, if the sky's open. It's already very muddy. It's going to be an absolute mess factor if the rain comes down. So listen, that's a good sentence, wasn't it? Very happy with that. It's 11:30 here on BBC Six Music, and it's time for the news.
It's the mighty Heed!
With no surprises there. Adam and Joe here on BBC Six Music. Of course, Tom York and Johnny Greenwood were one of the surprise guests on the park stage last year. They popped out and played a blinder. There's a very sweet photograph here on our script of Tom that I think was taken there, wasn't it? Yeah, he's got his little stripy bandana on and he's smiling very sweetly and having a terrific time. It was a great moment from last year's festival. And right now, I think it's time we had some eggcorns. Let's have the jingle.
Somebody's been eardropping on me, and now I'm suffering their strings and arrows, can't you see? I was standing on the curve like a jester of goodwill, but now I'm curled up in the feeble position still, cause of my eggcorns. When it comes to eggcorn business, eggcorns, I'm like Farmer Heck in Christmas, eggcorns. The pot will call the kettle back, eggcorns, cause it's an eggcorn attack,
Wow, I love a bit of metal.
It's packed with eggcorns, that metal. Here's a message right now from Tony. He is a gay male man. And he says, hi, Adam and Joe. My mate Matt came out with a classic eggcorn a few weeks ago. I told him that I'd got round to watching the most recent Harry Potter film, and it was pretty much meh. He said, yeah, it was something of a damp squid. I asked him what he meant, and he said, you know, when you order some fried calamari and the batter's a little bit disappointing and damp. Turns out he's been saying damp squid for years, and he's worked out a whole reasoning for it.
Well, you don't. There's the reasoning is obvious. I mean, they're aquatic creatures, so they're constantly damp.
Of course, yeah.
Beyond that, it's hard then to connect it to, you know, the idea of disappointment.
Uh-huh.
Because you shouldn't be disappointed by a squid being damp, should you? It should be something you expect.
Yes, well, Tom specifically is talking about the disappointment that you feel when your calamari is damp, not sufficiently crispy.
Right.
And that, he thinks, is the genesis of the phrase...
Sorry, I forgot to listen to that bit.
Damp squid.
Probably.
I like it when they work out... Because it's nice, you sort of work out the logic for it, for yourself, for your mistake.
Yeah.
And you think, yeah, so the mistake holds water perfectly.
It's better, he's improved
absolutely
it.
Happy with the mistake.
Here's one from Sean. He says, dear Alan and John... I witnessed a possible eggcorn a few years ago, or it may be a common or garden malapropism, but I'm not sure. When one of my mam's friends said, now mam's or mom's, he's either very posh or from the north.
Maybe he's talking about the queen there,
When one of mom's friends said she was going to buy blatant leather shoes to finish off an outfit, my mom assiduously avoided eye contact with me.
Laura Lolly Blayton Lover Shows.
A nodded encouragement to her friend. Since then, I've seen many ladies disporting themselves in blatant leather shoes. Cheery bye, Sean. That's a good email, Sean. Not only is it a good eggcorn, but you use the words malapropism, assiduously, and disporting.
Very nice.
And that is the kind of email we like.
So it almost certainly is about the Queen there.
Yeah, that's from Willie.
It's from Willie,
pretending to be Sean.
A Laura, Prince of Willies.
But that's one of the times that an eggcorn improves on the reality, though, isn't it? Calling it blatant leather, that's poetical.
It is poetic.
Because blatant leather is so shiny and in your face, don't you think?
Yeah, here's another one. From Abby Lawley, who's a she.
Mm-hmm.
In a recent meeting, one of my work colleagues was asking other people in our company to help out since we were short-staffed.
Sure.
He said that we needed people to help hold the fork. I think he meant fort. We all fell about laughing and bring it up whenever we can, much to his annoyment.
Yeah, annoyment, nice. Michael Neumann. But he hasn't thought, or she hasn't thought that one through. But what's the internal logic for hold the fork? When are you in a situation where you need someone to help you hold a fork?
If you've got a particularly tough bit of meat.
If you've got some heavy meat, and it's on the... Oh, mate, is there any way you could help me hold the fork here? Otherwise, this meat's...
He's really got a sore at that meat, and it's moving to and fro across the plate.
Oh, the lolly beef never going to make it to my mouth unless you help me hold the fork in here.
Here's one. Right now from Connor. He's a male who is also a man. He says, "Dearest corn dust and attack the buckles." He's got it kind of the wrong way around there, but maybe that's deliberate. This is a literal bombardment of acorns that arose from a conversation with a group of co-workers in a quite bullish attempt to crack the mentioned on the radio show crux that has held us back from global domination until now. It appears to be working, Connor. The fate of our collective lives now rests in your Robin Williams-esque hairy Sasquatch hands. Other hairy actor men are available. Off we go, he says. To be read with furious tempo and gusto, he puts in brackets. All right, I'll do my best. Up until her mid-20s, a work colleague thought that duct tape was actually duct tape. Up until a month ago, another man thought that the Neil Diamond song Forever in Blue Jeans was The Reverend Blue Jeans, a song about a cool priest. Yet another thought it was Wind Cheetah, not Wind Cheetah. And finally, I myself thought that it was Gullible's Travels, about the travels of a very gullible sailor.
It's a common one, I think, that one.
Yeah, Gullible's Travels. He says, if this doesn't make the show, then I have failed you. I have failed you all, he says to his work colleagues. And I really shouldn't be living here! Bye, says Connor, a male who is also a man. Thank you very much indeed for all those egg corns.
Did a good job there.
Have you got one more there, Corn Duster?
No!
All right, J-Corn. Let's have some music right now. And after this track from Pink Floyd, we're going to be having a beautiful lady woman in the studio. a woman. Her name is Sinead Garvin, and she's going to be here with the music news. So stay tuned for that. But right now, here is Pink Floyd from 1967. This is See Emily Play.
There you go.
Apparently Sid Barrett wrote that song, says here on our script, about a girl he saw sleeping in the woods. What was she doing sleeping in the woods there? He should have helped her out.
I saw a girl sleeping in the woods.
She's a nymph.
Is she a nymph?
She's a lovely nymph, yeah. A fairy woodland nymph.
Right.
It's very romantic. I think it's a lovely song.
Is it? Yeah, I'm not saying it's not a lovely song. Anyway, we've been joined by another fairy woodland nymph. That's quite patronising, isn't it? Sinead, hey, how you doing, Sinead?
Hello, I'm good. How are you?
Yeah, very nice. We're going to fade up your mic if you want.
That would be good. Hello,
Sinead.
Hello.
Now, you are the news person here, aren't you? You're
very
going
serious.
Around the site with a very serious face on.
You're the Jon Snow of rock.
I am. I like that.
And you're gathering the rock news, the latest rock gossip.
I am. Well, I'm going to be based at the Park Stage for most of the weekend, which is very exciting. It's probably my favourite place at Glastonbury, I have to say.
Why?
In my non-journalistic capacity.
Why is that? You just like the general tone of the bands there?
I like the lineup this year up there. I think I'm quite happy to be based there.
Who's the heavy hitters on the Park Stage tonight, then?
Well, tonight we have Crystal Castles. They're not my personal favourite, but... They're worth seeing. But Tame Impala tomorrow is my big tip.
Tame Impala?
Yeah, have you not heard of them?
Oh, Tame Impala. I thought it was a person called Tame Impala.
No.
I have heard of Tame Impala. They're good.
Wild Beasts are on tomorrow.
Oh, we love Wild Beasts. We might be hooking up with Wild Beasts.
It's exciting.
Having a little chin time.
Yeah, we've got Caribou tonight as well, which I'm quite excited about.
Caribou.
So, yeah. So lots
Caribou,
to look forward
Crystal
to.
Caribou, Crystal Castles.
Big
I'm just
audio
looking
dynamite.
At the program now.
So do you think the Park Stage is... considered more high profile and more prestigious than the John Peel stage for a band, then? That's a move up. I'm thinking about Wild Beasts were playing in the John Peel tent last year. Now they're on the Park Stage. Is the career moving in the right direction for them?
Well, they're headlining the Park Stage, so that's the thing.
That's good.
Yeah. So, but the kind of two stages, John Peel's sort of, I think, revered higher than the Park Stage, but it's obviously better if you're headlining the stage. But the big thing about the Park Stage is the two special guests. So we have one tonight, 8 o'clock.
Yeah.
And then one tomorrow at 7:45. So lots of rumours flying about who it might be.
Beatles.
Yes.
I hear the Beatles.
Yeah.
With Anton Deck filling in for George.
Why are you ruining it for everyone? It's supposed to be a surprise.
I'm sorry, this is what I've heard.
Okay.
Anton Deck.
It's all on the lowdown.
Instead of George and John.
Right, okay.
But Paul and Ringo, you know, for a long time they were thinking, who's going to replace...
I heard High Five.
Did you?
Yeah, the toddler band.
Right.
Because the kids here, they're not really, you know, entertained by kid-level bands, and High Five are huge.
Yeah, they're very big.
Amongst the under-fives.
I've also heard the Wiggles. Don't know what you've heard about that.
Yeah, no, that's not on my radar, but good tip, good tip. I'll start spreading that around.
Yeah.
But the likes of the Killers and Kings of Leon and Arcade Fire and Radiohead, really? All these names and some others.
They're all in the mix.
Around. Yeah, they're all the names flying around the campsite.
But those are the names that are bandied around more or less every year, though, aren't they?
When
but people sort of fantasize about what band it would be most amazing to see suddenly pop out. What happens when a huge band does come out onto the park stage? I mean, is that area just completely mobbed then, and it becomes a sort of disaster area? Do the security have to be careful about how many people they let in, or what?
Well, the idea is that you keep it really quiet, so there won't be that many people there. So it's kind of like just special for those sort of people there. But because there's big names flying around, I think it is going to be pretty crazy.
Well, the Ant and Dec fans are going to be mobbed.
Yeah.
And you're taking a gamble there, aren't you? Because stages, it takes a long time to get between stages.
Yeah.
So do you go for a surefire thing, somebody who's on the bill, or do you risk it and go for the mystery?
Because who have we got on the pyramid stage at that point? 8 o'clock, we are looking at Morrissey. So that's a big, big draw for a lot of people. And
some people might be disappointed if High Five turn up.
I mean, I
can't get unbelievable. Back to Morrissey in time.
My fingers are crossed. I'm willing to miss Morrissey
for the Wiggles,
for the chance that either the Wiggles or Scooch turn up on the park stage. That, to me, would be
amazing.
Well,
the Wiggles and Scooch.
Of course, the big headliners are U2 tonight. And how are people feeling about that?
Well, of course, this was kind of controversial. I mean, they were supposed to play last year, and then Bono hurt his back.
That's right.
I think it was a bit more serious than that. But he's back this year, and they're in the middle of their 360 tour, which is the highest grossing tour ever now.
Is it?
Yeah, they're having to massively downscale to play Glastonbury.
What are they? What do they do in the 360 tour?
Have you not seen the footage yet?
They play Xbox. They do some multiplayer.
That's it. Yeah.
Kart racing.
And people love it, and they're paying a lot of money to see it.
You can play against Bono.
But they're losing a lot of money playing Glastonbury, over £1.5 million.
Oh, mate.
But see, this is the problem. People aren't happy with Bono at the moment.
Why? What's he done?
Well, they're paying their taxes in a different country. And so there's a few protests going ahead today, apparently. There's going to be some people in banners. But generally, this is what Bono banners, no to Bono, that kind of thing. But generally, this is what people are feeling about tonight's gig.
I don't like Bono. Although they speak for a lot of things, the fact that he doesn't pay any tax in the country and his music's terrible, all of those things combined mean that I'm not going to go and watch him.
U2 are amazing. U2 are really good. They are a brilliant band. Basically, your fare, which you pay to get in, which is £200, is like paid just by watching U2.
We like the songs, just we don't like Bono.
U2 are middle-of-the-road pap.
I'd watch him if Bono paid his tax.
I'm going to see Fatboy Slim.
I'll be at the Pyramid stage as close as I can. Very excited. My favourite band.
That's a massive hit.
Yay! It's a beautiful day.
I'd just like to say, none of those people are Irish, so I don't know what they're moaning about the tax business for.
You know, it's like, I'd watch him if he paid his tax. That's for me, the most important thing. I like to know that the tax affairs of any band that I'm seeing are absolutely in order.
I mean, yeah.
And that their accountant is on top of that. They declared everything that they should declare, and that there are no little loopholes
there. I don't like listening to artists who have any outstanding parking tickets.
No, I hate that.
It's terrible.
I don't like that at all.
Or a dirty car.
If I find out, for example, that Warpaint, who are on this afternoon, four feisty young ladies, have not got their VAT in order and properly dealt with, I'm going to be very angry and I'll have to throw up.
But do you really think that's like genuinely reflective of the strength of opinion out there? That was a classic BBC balanced package there. You had all sorts of opinions. How serious do you think this is?
Well, I just had a look out there. There's already quite a few people out there in their chairs, and they're just there waiting for you two right near the front. And then you've got sort of other people who aren't going to be happy. They divide opinion, you two.
So the protesters are already camping out there too.
And the fans.
And are they
arm in arm?
Are they arm in arm, or are they pushing each other around a little bit?
It's fighting.
Could Rux actually break out, do you think?
I think so, yeah. Yeah, I've heard murmurs.
Guys, hey guys.
How's Bono going to deal with it?
Bono, he's just going to lay his hands on them.
Yeah.
The trick is to turn the music up very loud, plunge the audience into darkness, and that's it.
Bono's a pro, though. He's not going to acknowledge any skirmishes and scuffles at the front, though, is he? He's just going to plough on.
Exactly. And I think the weight of people who are there enjoying it are going to sort of,
a storm in a teacup. A fuss about nothing.
Is it?
I don't know. I'm just saying those things.
Rocky knocky nihilipilification. No, that's the opposite of a storm in a teacup.
What?
Yeah, it's a bit of fun factoid for you. When I see Bano later on. I'm going to chat to him about all this.
Okay, do. And send him my regards.
Yeah.
Tell him to pay his tax.
If you're listening, Bano, I don't mind what you do with your tax. Let's hang out later on and have a terrific time on your helicopter. Thank you so much, Sinead, for talking to us today. Enjoy the rest of the festival. Are we going to check in with Sinead before?
Yeah, we'll see you again tomorrow, maybe.
Yes, indeed.
Fantastic. Look forward to it. I mentioned War Paint there. Here is a track by them. They're playing later on. What,
the Park Stage.
Park Stage.
Yeah.
In the afternoon, another groovy band on the Park Stage. This is Undertow. That was Constellations by Darwin Dees. He'll be joining Stuart McConey here from 5 o'clock on BBC Six Music. But this is Adam and Joe. Hey, how you doing, listeners? We're live at the Glastonbury Festival. It's exciting.
It's very exciting. It's just getting underway, the festival. Who's on the pyramid stage right now?
Metronomy have just stepped onto the stage there, although we can't hear them pounding through the porter cabin here.
Slightly disappointing. Their sound tests were deafening.
Yeah, well, they were sound testing for the giant tax dodging U2
later. Really? Maybe they turn the speakers around or something and aim it at us when they're testing.
Ooh. Or maybe Metronomy broadcast directly into the minds of their audience.
I could hear that. That was the sound of we're opening the door to the porter cabin. You need to sort of point your mic out there. But yeah, that was the band coming on stage. It must have been.
Yeah. Close the door.
Very exciting.
So my arm hurts.
Well, that's exciting. I mean, go for it. Tell us about it.
Sinead didn't mention that before, did she?
She didn't. Oh, and that's... Ooh, whoa! Metronomy just there wobbled our porter cabin. That is the sound of Glastonbury. That's what we want to hear.
Come on.
That's vibrating my Butox.
That is getting me a little bit turned on, isn't it?
Yep.
So,
it's like sitting on a giant rock washing machine.
Sure it is. That's Howard Stern did that, didn't he? He sort of played very basic things
yeah.
and encouraged people to sit on the speakers.
It's exciting. Someone's car alarm's gone off. Can you hear that?
A load of car alms.
Now that shaking the ground.
In the house. Whoa!
Cows are collapsing on the spot.
Flipping heck, Tucker.
Corn is being vibrated out of the fields.
I mean, that's it more or less for the rest of the show, isn't
Local
it?
Local cottages are tumbling down.
This is like my worst nightmare in a way, you know? Hearing music through... I've just closed the door, so that's all fine
now. Made no difference at all. That's very loud. I think we said this earlier, but we think the people at the BBC, what with the cuts and everything, they haven't been able to afford a proper porter cabin.
So they've made one out of cardboard and put some grass on it, greengrocer's grass, and they thought, yeah, that'll do the job. And then people won't be able to complain about the BBC.
But this is good. I like having having the back. We've never had a music bed on our show.
No.
People used to encourage us to have a beat underneath our links.
To cover up.
We resisted
all
it. Now we've got it. Now like it or not.
Metronomy, very
it's
nice.
It's a live Metronomy bed.
Are we going to try and talk to Metronomy later on? Yeah, we're going to try and hook up with them.
Mm.
Joe and I thought that it would be a fun thing to do to play some improvised, very bad keyboards.
Well, you say very bad. I thought my keyboard playing in the other show was
good.
Very good. Yeah. And to be honest, my approach is that their stuff's very easy to play,
right.
Very easy to write.
You should tell them that.
And I'm going to tell them that, and I'm going to write some songs for them.
Yeah.
And it may well be better than theirs.
I look forward to that.
None of that's true.
Hey, yeah, so my arm, right?
Yeah.
It hurts. And
your
that's
right
because,
arm, right?
My right arm, right, yes. Mm. Yesterday, I was on my bicycle, which I've brought up with me on the train. It's lovely to ride around the beautiful hills around this part of the world. Get to the festival every day and keep the world green. I don't want to kill the planet. I don't know about you, but I don't like to take motorized transport when I'm going to my festival. I like to go on my bike. And yesterday when I was leaving Wells, the town, Hot Fuzz Central, where we're staying, I was crossing one of the... You know, down on the side of the road in the high street there, they've got these shallow drainage troughs.
Sure.
Where the rainwater
It's a
goes.
Lovely feature of English villages.
Yeah. And I was crossing one of those on my bike, but they're very slippy and slimy, and all the rainwater was running down. There's loads of algae that's grown on there. So I lost control of my front wheel, and the bike just got out of control, and I went tumbling, and I absolutely came a massive Steve Cropper right in the middle of the high street there. And it was spectacular. Went right over my handlebars and landed very awkwardly on my right arm.
Were people watching?
Loads of people watching.
You made a spectacle of yourself.
Made an absolute spectacle of myself. Thought I'd broken my arm. I mean, it was really agonocious. And so I got up and I was dusting my... There was no question of me regaining my cool or composure or trying to sort of laugh the incident off. I was really shocked and totally ignored. No one turned a hair. Everyone just walked on, didn't say anything.
That's a sign of something that is truly, truly humiliating.
Yes, that no one knew how to deal with it.
To look upon your
shame. Because usually you get a couple of people, like I've wiped out a few times on my bike, and usually people sort of go, oh, are you okay? One woman came out of her shop and she said, you're all right. And I said, yeah, I'm fine. She said, you should get out of the road. There's a lot of cars and trucks coming. Thanks very much.
I know that woman.
Yeah,
she's lovely. She's very friendly.
She's very.
She's
friendly.
Really come out of her shop recently.
She's finally come out of her shop. What are you doing lying there in a pool of blood? There's cars and trucks coming along. You should get out of the road. Stupid boy, stupid hairy little man. We're going to be talking to Emmy the Great.
Listen to that. Can you hear that, listeners?
Yeah, that's pounding, isn't it?
That is the thumping metronomic sound of metronomy.
Wow, we may as well be just playing that track.
I want to go. Let's play a record, and I want to go out there and feel the vibes, the thumps.
Yeah, well, we're going to play some Anna Calvi, and after this, we will play you a pre-recorded package that we recorded yesterday when we bumped into Emily Moss. She of Emmy the Great, who's playing later on here in Glastonbury, and she was joined by her boyfriend Tim Wheeler.
Give it up, man. Give it up. It's pointless.
We'll be hearing that after this from Anna Calvi. This is Desire. We're here with Emily Moss, aka Emmy the Great. Well, aka one part of Emmy the Great. How are you doing, Emma?
I'm all right. I'm a bit kind of frazzled because I just got here and it's muddy but sunny. I don't know how to feel.
Yeah, you can feel fine. And you're playing tomorrow with your band, is that right?
Yeah, that's right. On the Oxlyres West Stage.
You're playing three different sets, aren't you? You're doing a set with your full band, am I right?
Yeah.
Yes. And you're doing an acoustic set, am I right?
That's right.
Yes, two out of three. And you're also
doing an entirely Cantonese set.
I wish.
Yeah.
There should be a Cantonese stage.
What happens when you go off the beaten track as far as your, like, do you ever do weird covers and stuff, ironical covers of 90s dance hits like On a Ragga Tip?
We should. I haven't heard that particular song, but I'll probably be playing it tomorrow now.
It's going to be hard to figure out the instrumentation. I mean, it's quite drum and bass driven.
That's what would make it so very funny, to have a folk type band playing dance songs.
It'd be like when Travis did Hit Me Baby One More Time.
Yes.
Exactly. It was incongruous. Now, I hope you won't mind me saying, but you've got your boyfriend here, and he's staring menacingly at me and Joe, and he looks exactly like Tim Wheeler from Ash.
He's really mean.
Why does he look so much like Tim Wheeler from Ash?
I don't know. He just had his hair done the same way.
I'm actually James Blunt.
Wow.
It's James Blunt from Ash.
Yeah.
Now, the reason he looks like Tim Wheeler from Ash is because he is him. And is this the first time you've been to Glastonbury and not had to work and play your musical songs?
It is, yeah.
How does that feel? Quite relaxing.
It feels good. I'm only 10 minutes into it so far, but it feels really good. I'm looking forward to it.
Are you not tempted to sort of do a surprise appearance with another band?
I think I will pop up on during Emmy the Great set tomorrow at the end.
Yeah.
Unannounced to the whole band.
The main show.
Yeah.
And will you play one of the songs that you guys play when you're alone on a Sunday afternoon and you hold hands and you harmonise together?
Yes.
That's what happens, right?
Yeah, we're doing Where's My Mind for the Pixies, but maybe I shouldn't give that away.
That's the most romantic song.
And how about, now you must, you know, Tim, you're here as a kind of festival goer, and Emmy, you're here as a kind of performer.
A performer.
Has that caused friction in terms of where you're going to stay?
Tonight? Mm. Oh, we're staying in a hotel. We're staying at the Pike and Musket in Street.
Ah, the Pike and Musket! That's my favourite pirate pub!
What is a pike? Is it a fish?
Yeah, it's also a weapon.
Oh. Yeah, it's for lazy pirates who shoot fish.
Slapping people with
it. Yeah. Muskets don't work underwater, so I think it's referring to the weapon.
Musket my pike and slap someone with it.
Nice. That is probably the first made-up joke of the show so far. Listen, how's this? I'm thinking of... This is all I've got for my made-up joke, right? I haven't got a punchline or anything else. All I've got is Evis and Butthead.
That's nice. It doesn't need a punchline.
A bit of audio. I'm going to try and dig out some audio to realise my Evis and Butthead made-up joke. So listen, we've got off the beaten track. I was excited about you guys doing Where Is My Mind there for a second. Let's do a little bit of that. Can we have a little snatch?
Your head will collapse, there's nothing in it, and you ask yourself, where is my mind?
Where is my mind?
Where is my mind?
Where is my mind? I was swimming in the Caribbean. I was hiding behind the rocks. Said the little fish, bumming to me, swears, trying to talk to me, coy, coy. Where is my mind? Where is my mind?
Yay! Tim Wheeler and Emmy Lemos from Emmy the Great with a little bit of Pixies there. That's Where Is My Mind. I was like, I was sat right next to Emma as she was warbling there. It was as if Joan Baez had suddenly joined the Glastonbury yeah. Festival and was applying her talents to indie classics. Thanks a lot, guys.
No worries. Oh,
yeah. Thanks for having us.
Hey, wonderful to see you both, and enjoy your festival, Emma.
Yeah, you too.
Yes, you two will enjoy the festival. Yes, in your face, world! Take care. That's the sound of the Kills with Future Starts Slow. Before that, you heard Emmy the Great with Iris. Look at that picture of the Kills.
Wait,
there,
you know what I like there? I like that exhalation. The Kills.
The Kills.
It's like a DJ who's so excited and exhausted. He can't actually calibrate his breathing correctly.
Look at the picture of the Kills.
There's a picture of the Kills on our script. I'm having a look at it. Where is it?
They're both shouting. They're sort of standing there. There's two fellows in the Kills. One of them is a lady fellow. One of them is a man fellow, and the man fellow is standing there with a scarf rakishly draped around his scrawny neck, and he's sort of got his hand in kind of a curious gesture, and he's screaming, "Shine! It's just shine!"
She's got a ciggy and a cup of coffee.
She's got a ciggy and a cup of coffee, and she's like, "Aah!"
I don't care.
And at the moment, they look fine doing that because they're still in their late 20s / early 30s. But the thing is that when she's about 60 or 70, she's probably still going to be in that pose with her ciggy and her cup of tea.
Well, just that's good. The fans
irritated it.
Very loud. Sorry. The fans, the fans won't be disappointed then. There'll be no change. It'll still be the same old Kills when
same
they're old and
Kills.
Gray.
Same old Kills, yeah. Excellent job. And we were
I'm turning you down slightly.
In your headphones.
In my headphones.
Oh, dear.
No, it's nice. It's nice. It's nice. It's just you plus metronomy. We figured out that the Six Music Porter Cabin here behind the pyramid stage is acting like an echo chamber.
Yeah.
Because when you step out of this box, like we did a second ago, to go and see how metronomy were rocking Daffields.
Sure.
It wasn't so vibralicious.
Mm-hmm.
It's just this special porter cabin that's capturing and enhancing the vibe. Bretiones.
We are absolutely exactly going to miss Metronomy's set, unfortunately. They're finishing as soon as we come off air at 1 o'clock.
KMT.
But we will be able to go and see Emmy the Great later on.
Do you know what KMT means?
No idea. Is it dirty?
No, it's kiss my teeth.
Kiss my teeth?
Yeah.
Did you make that one up?
No.
Is that really what young people are saying?
Well, when they like Twitter and text, yeah.
Kiss my teeth. Is that a good thing?
It's dismissive, that kind of thing.
But surely if you offer someone to kiss your teeth and that you
well,
like them, you really and absolutely love them.
That's different. Is that something people do?
Would you like to kiss
my
teeth?
You keep your teeth closed and open your lips and the other person goes...
That
on the actual teeth. I think that's the new sexy thing.
That would be fun,
teeth
wouldn't
are
it?
Very sensitive. They're full of nerves. they are, because
they're
you see
not.
Them on the telly when the man at the station offers the woman the toothpaste.
Yeah.
Do you have sensitive teeth? Yeah, when my husband kisses them, it's overly stimulating.
They cry.
I need them deadened so that his teeth kissing doesn't arouse me so much.
Teeth kissing, that's the new thing, isn't it? Because when you're in the first flush of young love, you more or less experiment with every single
kiss
affectionate
everywhere.
Thing you can possibly do.
Yeah.
Don't you? So at some point you've got to get
when
to
you
the
get
teeth.
Older, you just do the one thing over and over again. Like a sort of steam hammer.
You just pat each other
moving
on the
on.
Head. You pat each other on the head like a steam hammer, is what my co-presenter meant. Now, we were talking about kind of made-up jokes there with Emmy the Great, a little bit. I made a reference to a made-up joke that I'd sort of begun working on. The idea of Everson Butthead. Don't look so sad.
I just had a moment of worldly weary woe. I think it was the steam hammer thing.
And rubbed his forehead with the look of a man who's got the cares sad. Of the world on his shoulders.
I was just thinking about Bono.
And then I compounded it by talking about Everson Butthead. Yeah. Well, look,
this is good. Let's forget about
would
that.
Would it
Let's
cheer you up
fun.
To have some kind of audio clip illustration of my Everson Butthead
yes,
joke?
Yes, it definitely would.
Here we go.
I mean, it's an incredible series of flukes, don't you think?
I am Cornholio.
And it just grew and grew and grew. Yeah, we couldn't stop it, actually. We couldn't even slow it down, could we?
I need TV for my bunghole.
And all through the 80s, it was growing like mad. And we had a good time, actually.
You are a bunghole. And so am I.
But, I mean, it hasn't stopped yet either, has it?
Are you threatening me?
Everson Butthead.
Everson Butthead.
Come on.
Come along.
Come on.
Come along.
Come on.
Come on. Heel.
Come
heel.
On. Hey, hey. Come on.
Come on, boy. Hey, boy. Everson Butthead. Good boy. Boggins.
What's he doing?
Oh, my God. Boggins
Lucy
has responded to that.
Left the door open to the porter cabin.
I can't believe Boggins has been here all year.
Oh, I love it, bravo.
It makes perfect sense that Boggins would be here in the mud and stench and the unflushable toilets.
So wonderful.
This is his home from home.
Yeah.
This is where he refreshes his stink and his gland problems.
I've just been. Somebody's tent. I left a present for him.
Still can't understand.
I love you.
Nothing.
Do you want to fall by your legs?
Apparently, Boggins has been causing some stinky piles in people's tents. It's like a sort of treasure hunt. When people go back to their tents, they might find a little gift from Boggins.
What's that around?
He often hides it under the pillow, so you don't notice till you tuck your hand under.
I left a lot of my hairs on your pillow. I hope you don't mind.
No idea. I wish you could speak. Let's get him out. Kick him out. Out, Boggins. Out. Everybody hates you. You're the least popular... That is the least popular dog on any kind of radio show. You know the least popular gimmick character. He's awful. Yeah. Awful. People hate him.
He makes Arnold on Tony Blackburn's Junior Choice look like a kind of a genius.
He makes Prickles the Cactus seem like...
Hey!
What?
Prickles the Cactus is a genius.
He wasn't called Prickles the Cactus. He was called Oucho.
Oucho, is he?
Makes him seem like the king of all mascot characters. Mr. Blobby. O-B-E. M-B-E. Order of the Garter. Did you know that Mr. Blobby got the Order of the Garter?
What?
That was a little publicised event. Anyway, moving on.
12:30. It's time for the news here on Six Music.
It's the Stone Roses with Fool's Gold. Fantastic sound.
They've never played Glastonbury, of course. Or at least they played Michael Evis's mini festival that he has for the locals as a sort of thank you. After each Glastonbury, he puts on a small show for around 500 locals or something. And I think the Stone Roses were one of the bands that played that festival.
Do they do that on a point of principle? Is there any reason they don't play Glastonbury?
No. They would have done, but I think they split up the year after they played. So they were at the peak of their powers when they played the mini festival.
Oh, I see.
And then they pretty much just split up.
Missed the bus,
mate. It's a shame. So, folks, coming up shortly, you're going to be able to hear Steve Lamack here on BBC Six Music at 1 o'clock. You can go to bbc.co.uk/Glastonbury if you would like to see Steve with your eyes on the webcams. They will kick into action.
We are presenting in the nude. So we won't be on the webcams.
No, we're too ugly for the webcams. And they make me feel a little embarrassed. And yeah, but because we are so nude.
This Glastonbury is a time when a mature gentleman can be in the nude.
Yeah, you know, watching all those docos about Glastonbury and various other festivals recently on the telly like we done, there was an awful lot of nudity in them days. You really don't see that much anymore. There's one old lady over in the healing field or whatever who's constantly got her wizened wares out.
I wonder what the legal status is, because in the Glastonbury programme this year, there is a sort of A to Z, and it goes through all the genuine dangers, you know, to beware of, you know, naughty
badges,
substances and respect the countryside. And it tells you all the do's and don'ts and everything that's illegal in the outside world. There's no difference here. The same laws apply. It's still, you know, part of the country and obeying its laws. But under the letter N is nudity.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a photo of a man's buttocks. Right. Now, it wouldn't be legal to walk around naked in the rest of the country, would it? Would it? You would be arrested for displaying your bits and bobs, because they would shock people. People have no...
People loathe
people
bobs.
Loathe them.
I mean,
they
people don't
them.
Mind... The opinions are divided on bits.
But
it's
the bobs,
it's the
absolutely
bobs.
Not. They
it's
get
the
everywhere.
It's the combination of the bits and the bobs that really cause offence.
You can't control them. They get everywhere.
Yeah.
But it appears to be maybe legal in Glastonbury.
It's one of those things that people, it's like an understanding that people have. People love nudity in Glastonbury.
Yeah.
But as far as the outside world goes, not so sure. So we've got to be careful about that kind of thing on this program. Let's have a jingle right now, and this will explain everything.
I like to change the lyrics of songs from time to time.
Lock the taskbar
to make them refer to things I do. I call it appropriation, and as far as I'm aware, it isn't a crime. I wonder if it's something you do too.
See, I would like that. That could be a metronomy song.
I like that you said this jingle will explain everything.
Yeah.
You didn't like limit it to what's coming up next.
No.
You just everything.
A lot of secrets in there.
A lot of secrets.
A lot of things.
Coded with Masonic and Rosicrucian
young
messages.
Confused teenagers listening to that will suddenly have the veil pulled away from in front of their eyes by that jingle. if you've just tuned in, Adam and Joe here at Glastonbury, and the sound you can hear behind us is the noise of metronomy on the pyramid stage here, but we are going to do a bit of pop-propriation right now, and let me fire things off for you with this nugget. And this is from Mary. She is a Black Squadron member for years, from York, and she says, "Dearest Bucktown Girl and Cornica Colours are calling me." I don't know what that's a reference to. Oh, is it? No, it's the photo thing, is it?
I don't know. I know. Conica? I recognise the Billy Joel thing.
Sure.
I'm lost on the second
anyway.
One.
She says, "I am so upset that you are going to be going off after Glastonbury."
We went off years ago.
Oh, that's true, isn't it? "What on earth will I do on a Saturday morning? The garden, perhaps?" she says dismissively. "Anywho, I always sing these songs to myself. At the end of the day, when I'm at work, my boss messages me and says simply, 'Tea?' I want to say to her, 'Oh yeah, like I'm not so like I'm so not busy that I can make you tea whenever requested, you giant witch.'"
A giant witch. Wow. That's something I haven't seen.
"Instead, I message back, 'The kettle's on.' And in my head, I'm singing those words to the tune of Glenn Frey's 'The Heat Is On.' 'The kettle's on. I'm making tea. The kettle's on. Ooh, it's on the hob. Because the kettle's on." I hoped you were going to do the...
I saw you were looking. You were looking at everybody while you sung with imploring eyes.
Oh, kettle's really boiling now.
Not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. I can't do it. I can't do it. It's too exciting to watch you. Here is one from Jamie, who is male, and with everything that entails. And he's from Norwich. He says, "Dear mineral water and pasty, sometimes when I wish to eat lunch or another meal, I find that there are no plates left in the cupboard as they're all in the dishwasher. This means I have to wait several millennia for it to finish washing. While I wait, I sing to the tune of 'Ain't No Sunshine' by Bill Withers. 'Ain't no dishes when it's on.
Yes.
Ain't no dishes when it's washing up. Ain't no dishes when it's on. And it's always on too long. Anytime it washes up.
I know.
And then it goes, it's finished."
That's true, though, man. That happens in my house.
That's true, though, man.
It's true, Dad. Because sometimes, you know, I want to have my favorite spoon. Do you have a favorite spoon?
Very loud. I'm turning you down a bit.
Oh,
sorry, it's just my headphones.
Come on, Grandpa.
My headphones. Favorite spoon?
Yeah. Have you got a favourite spoon?
Well, this is
it's
what
a simple question,
it's what they remind me of the Private Eye column all about spoons. I thought, where they interview people about spoons.
Well, there you go. Maybe it was inspired by this interesting programme where we talk about spoons too. Well, I have a favourite spoon. It's nice and big and it's got a nice thick stem. It's not going to bend too easily if I'm eating some heavy cereal. And so sometimes I just want to use my favourite spoon, but very often it's in the dishwasher that my wife absolutely adores. And I don't see why you can't just wash up as you go along. You know what I'm saying? Not everything has to go into the dishwasher where it just sits
festering. Hey, don't do your dirty laundry.
Days and days and days. I'm just trying to connect with people.
Have you got another one?
Feel similar. I'm just too angry now. I'm too angry. Where's my spoon? Here is a message from Emma von Cheeselsnitch. Do you think that's really her name?
Yeah.
Okay. She says, "Hi, Madam and Jojoba Oil. Jojoba Oil. My appropriation colleague was reported as singing, "I put a bib on you." Oh, yes, this was from a few weeks ago when someone was putting the bib on the baby.
Right.
And singing, "I put a bib on you."
Like it.
To the tune of, "I put a spell on you." And Emma von Cheeselsnitch says, "It reminded me of when my ex-boyfriend always used to sing to the same tune every time he farted. I put a smell on you.
Ooh.
'Cause you're mine."
What a boyfriend.
That's why it's the ex-boyfriend.
Yes.
Cheeselsnitch is no longer going out with that guy. Because that's not a fun bit of appropriation there. That's sinister.
That is sinister. You don't want to celebrate your guffery.
No, if you do that to someone,
you must be filled with shame.
Certainly you should. You should grovel and say sorry and then
it
open
is a
some
shameful
windows.
Smell. Finally, here is one from Ma. Spelled M-A-R, not your mum.
Andrew Ma.
"I'm confident that I'm the only person who sings this when passing a branch of Robert Dias. Robert Dias, 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 Robert Dias. Oh, Robert Dias. Oh, come and rock me, Robert Dias." I'm confident, Ma, that you're not.
Well,
it's very good, thank you.
Not from now on. There's going to be a lot of people singing that, that beautiful mother. Adam and Joe here on BBC Six Music, live at the Glastonbury Festival. Thank you very much for those pop-propriations. Might have some more of those tomorrow.
Don't forget, Six Music is your one-stop Glastonbury shop. Oh, a terrible sentence. But this is the place you can tune into and stay tuned to keep in touch with the Glastonbury Festival all this weekend. Keaveney, McConey, Laverne, Lamac, the country's best DJs, giving you the best coverage of the Glastonbury Festival.
And us. Right now, Bright Eyes, ladies and gentlemen. He is going to be playing Connor Oberst. That's his name, isn't it? He's a sensitive young man. I mean, he looks as if he's been 13 years old for the last 20 years or something. And he's going to be on the other stage later this afternoon. And this is a track from Bright Eyes' latest album, The People's Key, out earlier this year. This is Shell Games.
Let me
Sorry.
What
that
happened
was,
there?
That was neither Shell Games. First of all, it was a bit of David.
Hello.
And then it turned into the Stone Roses again.
Hello.
But it had absolutely nothing to do with Shell's Games or Bright Eyes. I think we've lined up Shell Games now, though.
We have the Chemical Brothers.
Let's have the Chemical Brothers. Which
That's
Chemical
what
Brothers
I wanted,
are we going to play,
say.
James?
This one.
This one. Hey, love this one. This is much better than those other songs.
See, how does it feel is a perfectly acceptable thing to say. What does it feel like is a perfectly acceptable thing to say. How does it feel like, not in any way grammatically acceptable thing to say. And to be broadcasting that kind of grammatical filth on the BBC seems to me an affront.
Yeah, you're right, it is disgraceful.
An affront.
And it's typical of the slipping standards here at the castle.
At the castle, exactly. Stephen Fry wouldn't stand for that kind of thing.
Not true.
Now, this is Adam and Joe here on the BBC. Yesterday, when we arrived here at the site, there were no bands playing. There was nothing really happening.
There was very little happening.
So what me and Joseph decided would be a good idea was to go out with the recording equipment and just expose ourselves to the reality of the festival and a very typical festival experience.
I mean, the most exciting thing that happened yesterday was Adam arrived in some inappropriate footwear.
I had my wee boots. Regular listeners to this show will remember that a few weeks back I purchased some new kind of hiking boots and they smelt strongly of urine. I'm glad to say that that smell has gone somewhat now. I've broken them in, but they were totally inappropriate for the conditions here at the festival, which are very muddy.
So we went out to try and buy a pair of wellies.
Yeah.
And some incredible things happened on the way.
You will not be able to believe
Have a listen to this.
I think I need some Wellingtons.
We're going to go and buy wellies.
Yeah, we're going to go on a welly mission.
Okay, here we are at the welly stand.
They only have your basic green welly.
So, what next? Buy the welly? I'd buy that welly.
All right, I think I'm going to buy that welly.
And now Adam's moving up to the counter.
Have you just got the one size of welly?
No, we've got many sizes, mate. We've got size 4 to 12.
This is exciting.
He's ordered the welly. What are you going to do once you get the wellies?
Hello.
Suffice to say, it's been
Thank
a very,
very
successful
no,
mission. Adam's got the wellies. He's putting them on. How do they feel?
Oh, man, they're amazing. And they had sizes 4 to, to 12.
Good package. Good package.
Good package. That's going to win us some awards. Here's a free play right now for you listeners. This is Paul McCartney from his album McCartney 2, 1980. Love this song. Still sounds good. Temporary Secretary. Paul McCartney there, temporary secretary. A couple of people tweeted in to point out that my amazing made-up joke about Evis and Butthead was actually Evis and Beavis in the end. I did. I looked it up. I thought I had the right guy, the Cornholio guy.
You know what?
I
think that makes it better. I think that's what I love about Count Buckley's.
Yeah.
You're flawed and human.
I am flawed.
But you make such a fantastic effort. And it is still very, very funny.
Sure
in fact,
is.
It's won an award.
Has it?
Yeah.
Oh, I love awards.
So that's all right.
That's it for our show today. Thank you so much for listening, listeners. Steve Lamack is up next. A podcast of this program will be available hopefully later today, but certainly tomorrow. So check that out. Black Squadron, if you're listening, we're going to be congregating at the left of the Pyramid Stage tomorrow morning at 10, from 10 to 10.30. The first half hour of our live show tomorrow, we'll be hanging out with the squadron here at Glastonbury. But right now, we're going to wrap things up with James.
Thanks for listening. We'll see you tomorrow.
Take care, listeners. Love you. Bye.